flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics.
Spicy pulls.
Salty plays.
The sweet taste of victory.
And the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces.
And umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together.
For a gathering.
A potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic.
Hello and welcome to Flavor Profiles. I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
And tonight, as we continue delving through the holiday season with magic, we're going to talk about one of the tried and true traditions of Christmas, the white elephant. And I'm not talking generous gift, although sometimes it can be a little generous, but sometimes they might bite back a bit. And for that, we're going to look at group hug decks. Everyone loves a group hug.
Yeah, I actually put a thing out on Twitter the other day asking about white elephant gift exchanges and what people would choose to go after or bring. And
most of them said they wouldn't.
A lot of people don't like white elephant. So that made me think, you know, like maybe people don't actually like playing against group hug as much as some people may think.
Well, it's true, I'd say, because it's very different what you're trying to do compared to a normal game. I mean, it works best in Commander because you really need a good group for a good group hug. But you aren't really playing to win in a traditional sense. You're kind of playing to make everyone else happy. I mean, I guess it's good for people who are people pleasers. I should probably play more group hug. But you're granting resources, you're giving advantages with card draw, ramp, creatures for free. But to be honest, similar to a Christmas white elephant, there can be a hidden cost to these. Sometimes it's not really free.
When I asked people what they would bring, a lot of people were very, it was very like 50-50. People either brought something that was just nonsense, ridiculous, that no one probably won, or they bring something practical that, you know, appeals to the mass, to appeals to the whole group. So it was interesting to see the parallels with our discussion today.
And sometimes I've been in like my old office white elephant every year. Sometimes someone would bring a gift for themselves so that they were guaranteed if they could steal it.
Yeah.
They would be set. And I was like, that's kind of clever.
Yeah, you bring something that you would want, so that way, if worse comes to worse, you can bring home what you want.
But I guess, I mean, there are kind of standard-ish rules for a white elephant exchange. Like for us, everyone would draw a number. Number one would grab a gift, open it. Number two would have the option, you steal or you get something new. And for us, if you stole something twice, then it was locked and couldn't be stolen again.
Yeah.
Because then otherwise people just keep going for that one thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But ours would always end up being a third of the gifts would be booze, a third of the gifts would be coffee, and a third of the gifts would be just the silly, outlandish, random thing. And we had a screaming rubber chicken that just kept getting regifted every year. So it was kind of like the badge of honor you had on your desk. People would fight for that chicken.
Ah, the magical chicken. Everybody wants it. There was one comment that I found really interesting. Someone said that they typically will go for whatever is wrapped the nicest, or they'll go for the smaller packages. So
that's good strategy there.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting that they cared less about what they're bringing and more about what it looks like on the outside.
And smaller could be better because I know a few times we'd have it where you'd open the large package and it'd just be boxes inside boxes inside boxes until you got to an envelope with a gift card, but you never knew.
Yeah, it's I think one time I got someone's like really old crock pot that like doesn't really work anymore and I ended up giving it away. I didn't want it.
I mean, it's a good way, I guess, to declutter your house.
I do think a lot of people use that opportunity to get rid of things in their house that they no longer want.
Have you ever had like a white elephant experience where you're just like, what the heck did I open?
Yeah, it was in college and I was in a co-ed fraternity in college and we did a white elephant and I opened up, they were Angry Bird boxers. And I was like, what is this? Okay. And there's been other times that people brought like really weird food too, like gross food, like pickled things that like shouldn't be pickled.
I have questions. I don't want answers, but I have questions.
I am very unlucky. We all know I'm very unlucky. I'm not lucky opening packs. I'm not lucky shuffling. I'm also very unlucky opening white elephant gifts. So...
I just remember one of the strange ones I opened and ended up getting stolen and stolen several times. I don't know why it kept getting stolen. But you know, magic eight balls? You know, you kind of flip it over and it tells you the answer. It was like that, but it was a garden gnome. But you could flip it over and it had the little like bottom where you could see the whatever the fortune telling die was in the bottom.
You know, gnomes are back in season right now.
I do. There are, I think every whiteboard in my office has one drawn on it. I've yet to figure out who the culprit is.
Ooh.
It's like a holiday Banksy.
Ooh, a little mystery.
Mm-hmm. I like mysteries.
So anyways, white elephants and group hugs.
So looking into some of these, there are like a lot of fun kind of options to do with this. I mean, you can have such a wide range. You can have where it's sort of a cost benefit with Feldegriff. You get something, but at the same time, so does your opponent. There's Glunch, where you can just gift to everyone. There's Quain, where people can start drawing cards and gain life. Kenrith, where it's just benevolent leadership, bestowing all sorts of bonuses on people. Or even Kainios and Tira, where you get to just keep ramping and card draw. And then you have a quite a fun group hug deck.
I do. I have a Rocco Street Chef deck. It basically allows your opponents to have extra quote-unquote card draw because you're allowing your opponents to exile cards that they can play, and you want them to play those cards because it benefits you, because whenever a player plays a land from exile or casts a spell from exile, you put a +1/+1 counter on target creature and create a food token. So this deck goes wild. I know I talked about last week how one of my favorite new cards is Knight of Sweet's Revenge. Mm-hmm. The deck I have on
really
Mark's
good
list isn't updated, but that card is in this deck. And so all of your foods that you're making with Rocco become mana, and it just gets insane because you're exiling cards. You can play them. Some of the more like group hug cards in here. I have a Howling Mine in here. I have Share the Spoils, which is, if you haven't played with that card, it's kind of silly and I love it. It just consistently like has your opponents like playing cards from exile, because when they play one, they put another one into exile.
Like, oh gosh. Yeah, I really only have two words for that. Yes, chef.
Yeah. And so,
do you have Tough Cookie in there?
I don't. Tough Cookie didn't really work with this deck, but I mean, obviously it's not completely group hug. You know, there's always something that makes it not completely group hug. You have to have a way to win. You can't just give your opponents everything. They want Immoor. So
there are only so many alternate win cons wand you can use in different color combinations.
Yeah, I do have a Felidar Sovereign in here just because of all of the foods. So if you're able to eat all your foods and just have a lot of life, that can be one.
Eat your vegetables, get a cat.
Yeah, I also have both Atalis in here. So it's like a group hug in a way that I get to steal your gifts for me. And
hug yourself.
Yeah, it's exactly like a white elephant. I steal the gift and keep it for myself. And I think the card that a lot of people are playing lately that works really well in group hug, but also makes the game go faster, is Descent into Avernus.
Mm-hmm. I love that card.
Yeah.
Thank you, Empress Quinn.
Yes. At the beginning of your upkeep, you put 2 descent counters on it, and then each player creates X treasure tokens, and it deals X damage to each player. X is the number of counters on it. So everybody gets treasures, but it's also dealing damage each turn. It's like a blessing and a curse. Like, you want it up until a certain point, and then you're like, all right, this is too much. I'm taking too much damage. I don't want this anymore.
I've seen Avernus. I'd like to go up now. Yeah. I love that it's just such a fun mix. Looking through the deck right now, this is one of yours I haven't played against, but I'm really, really want to. It's now one of the top of my list. But it makes me think of, have you ever played Megan from Infinitoken's Hot Potato deck?
I haven't.
So it's Corona False God.
Oh, I've played against Corona decks before, so I have a feeling I know where this is going.
Well, her alternate name for this deck is, hey, can I borrow that for us? And it's just constantly passing things around the board. And it works well on stream because of, well, Infinitokens. But for those who aren't familiar with Corona, it's Wooburg plus 1 colorless for a 5/5 legend with haste. And at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player untaps Corona and gains control of it. And whenever Corona attacks, creatures of the type of your choice gain +3/+3 until the end of turn. The entire deck is, here, you want to use this? Here, you want to use this? Hey, I'm going to borrow that. And you're just swapping around, drawing tokens, but then she starts goading you. So it kind of goes from this idea of group hug, a little bit of white elephant. Hey, here, open this. It's my gift to you. I'm going to take that back now. And then it becomes group slug.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a couple commanders right off the top of my head that are exactly like that. Like Slicer for mm-hmm. one of them.
Oh, Slicer's in that deck.
And then John Arrhenicus,
mm-hmm.
where you're giving your opponents cards. Oh, gosh. I played against one at Command Fest Orlando, and this was the pod where Beth, Queen of Cardboard, told them that I was a problem. So they started giving me all of their things, and and I was gifted a Abyssal Persecutor, which, if you don't know that card, it's a 6/6 demon with flying and trample that says you can't win the game and your opponents can't lose the game. So even though I could absolutely win the game, I couldn't win the game.
So, but that's the gift. They wanted to spend more time with you. And yes. By more time, they mean forever.
Yeah, so, and of course it's goated, so. There was actually a commander I was looking at to build for group hug that is probably one that people like don't see very often or don't think about. Mm-hmm. It's from Dominaria United. It's Rasputin.
Oh, I know the card.
So when it enters the battlefield, put a dream counter on it for each opponent you have. And then each opponent creates a 1/1 red goblin creature token.
It's in a Azorius, right?
Yeah. So you just give your opponents goblins.
So this is a perfect one for playing against Hobbs.
Yeah. You know, if you have a friend that really likes goblins, you can give them the gift of goblins.
And you can also remove a dream counter and create a 2/2 white knight with protection from red. Okay, I think you need to build this. That's going to be fun. And definitely not what I would have thought of when it came to group hug decks.
I keep getting stuck on that deck, though. I just can't figure out how I would want to build it. I'd probably have to take a lot of inspiration from, like, a Quain deck because they're the same mm-hmm. colors. But it also has, like, the weird thing with dream counters because you want to have some proliferate so that way you can get more mm-hmm. counters on it. So it's kind of a weird deck, which is why I haven't actually built it yet.
I've thought about it, though.
It haunts me. This deck haunts me.
The ones that haunt you, though, are the best. It's the deck that got away, but it got away because you haven't built it yet. And it's kind of neat looking at it and how you mentioned using proliferate, which is one of the group hug archetypes. And it's one that I didn't really think of, because when I always think proliferate, I'm thinking, OK, I'm going to use it on myself. Or in the case of the Finn the Fangbearer deck you gave me, I'm going to start proliferating poison counters on other people when I need to be the problem. But I wouldn't have really thought of it as it's perfect for group hug, because you can use it in a sense of negotiating, politicking. Hey, I'll help you out for the moment. You want to buff that a little bit? And maybe to be safe, I'll just goad it.
Yeah. I mean, I have this deck on private and it looks like I've added 55 cards and I just got stuck. So
I have one similar for my kind of non-traditional group hug deck is Rankle and Torbren from March of the Machine. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the paired up cards. It's a fairy dwarf 3/4 flying first strike haste. And whenever they deal combat damage to a player or battle, choose any number of the following. Each player creates a treasure token. Each player sacrifices a creature. Or if a source would deal damage to a player or battle this turn, it deals that much plus two instead. So it's Rakdos group hug.
Mm.
Because you're getting a hug, but it's a little spiky.
Yeah, that feels like straight, like, Descent Avernus, like, type, where it's like, all right, you're getting things, but, like, it's not going to work out in your favor.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine.
Let's see, how many, I haven't looked at it in 8 months, and I've got 56 cards in it so far.
Yeah.
And, I really need to rework this.
You know, and I think some of my favorite group hug cards are ones that don't benefit the entire table. They're ones that benefit mm-hmm. you and an opponent of your choice. Like Tenuous Truce is one that I put in a lot of decks.
Mm-hmm.
So you enchant an opponent at the beginning of their end step. You and that player each draw a card. If they attack you or you attack them, then Tenuous Truce is over. Your truce is over. You have to sacrifice it. And then the other one is Wedding Ring.
I like Wedding Ring. I was thinking also, which kind of fits the theme of Wedding Ring, I guess, Secret Rendezvous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's all about, you know, card draw and gaining life. And I think those ones are fun because you get to do a little bit more politicking with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always important to understand in games of Commander who has card advantage. I think picking someone who is not having as much card advantage for those can be beneficial to you or not, depending on what they're playing. So it's kind of fun to politic that way in your games.
But I think you're right on those cards that can get you an ally at the table, especially if they're having a bit of a slow start. You can give them a hand. Maybe they have something that can benefit you as well.
Yeah.
But all games in group hug will have to come to an end. And that's where it can get a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might have enough creatures in there to where you can kind of slug it out. But most of the more popular decks are going to rely on alternate win cons. I believe you mentioned the Felidar Sovereign earlier.
Alternate win cons also, since a lot of them deal with card draw, potentially drawing yourself out. I think those are the two sort of main ways that group hug try to win. Unless, of course, you're playing Rakdos and it's spiky, you're probably playing a lot of burn. Mm-hmm. But yeah, alternate win cons, you know, you kind of have to make sure that you have ways to put yourself first at some point in the game. Otherwise, you are, I guess, just contributing to making the game faster.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one view on group hug that it's really, in some instances, more of a kingmaker situation where you have the ability to choose the winner. And if you're in the game just to be with people you're close to or you haven't seen in a while and you're just having fun regardless, it doesn't really matter then at that point. If you want to pick who the winner is and you're still going to have fun, you know, do what brings you joy. I do want to mention another fun WinCon though, talking about card draw from a second ago, just Gadekophile.
I put that in any group hug sort of situation, card draw situation that has blue.
So Triskaidekaphile, for those unfamiliar, are one and a blue for a 1/3 human wizard. You have no maximum hand size. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have exactly 13 cards in your hand, you win the game. You can pay 3 and a blue and you can draw a card.
And that could be at instant speed.
And does not tap when you do that card draw. So if you got the mana, just start drawing.
Until you have too many cards. And then you run into the issue of how do I get rid of all of these cards?
Well, there's always, I'm trying to think of cards that force you to discard. I instantly was thinking of cards that force you to mill.
Most cards that force you to discard are in black, which is not typically associated with group hug. You'd be playing Dimir if you were playing those two colors, and that's just typically, Dimir is like the opposite of group hug. Dimir is
typical Nat deck.
Dimir is ruining people's lives.
I mean, if you look at it, a Dimir deck could be an interesting dichotomy, is you could have half group hug, half group ug.
You know, now I kind of want to build this. I want to build something in Dimir that's group hug, but also is just mill group hug. I want to build that.
Okay, so you do mill group hug in Dimir. I'll do the Rakdos one where it's like spiky group hug.
Yeah. So what happens when you have 4 group hug decks playing at a table? You know, I've never had that situation happen. It's always been one person having a group hug deck. I've never had more than one group hug deck in a game ever.
No, I never have. There's always one. And usually the group hug deck's a contender for victory. Jen's Glunch, for example, from Filthy MTG Casuals. That deck, well, first off, it is one of the most fun decks I have gotten to play and pilot. But that can make things really big, really fast. And looking at her list, she has made some upgrades. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That is a very tight hug.
Yep.
And it's borderline. I wouldn't say it's group slug, but it's definitely slug everyone and take them out one at a time.
Yeah. I have had games where people say that they're playing a group hug deck and it is not a group hug deck.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line on it. It's kind of like with white elephants, going to our theme. You know, there's usually the rule or the parameters of a budget so that everyone kind of stays in line. Or if you're fans of The Office, you remember the episode where Michael decides he wants to be the favorite and throws an iPod into the $20 max mix and chaos ensues.
Yeah. The deck I played against, it was not group hug. It was Stax. It was very mislabeled. I think there was
group hug is like Stax light.
There was like one group hug card and the rest were all Stax cards. So
it's just hugging and not letting go. It's counting to the awkward 2 Mississippi.
Except that there was like no hug involved. Like it was like, it's like they put up their hand for you to high five them and then they like got rid of their hand and you're like high fiving the air. Like, you know, when they're like, oh, you missed. Like that's how it felt. It didn't feel like a group hug. It felt like a high five that was a fake high five.
I mean, we were just talking about building decks that are the equivalent of, why are you hitting yourself?
True. Yeah. So I think there's like a fine line too, where like if you have a group hug deck, it does have to have ways, multiple ways to benefit the entire group that's playing. It can't just be, it only benefits you and then you call it a group hug. Like that is not a group hug deck.
Yeah, you need to be able to have fun with it where everyone can take advantage of it. And, you know, maybe you do Quain and card draw and you have alternate win cons and you're just able to draw into it fast enough. But everyone else is drawing cards and hopefully getting to do things they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played against a girl named Ron's Quain deck?
Yes, I have.
That's one I was also thinking of when looking at mill strategies because of Jace, mm-hmm. both the Jace Bellerin and the Wielder of Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And I use those in my Nira deck combined with Tasha's Hideous Laughter, and it gets a little wild when that starts getting copied repeatedly. But you also get some fun alternate win cons in that deck.
Yeah. I feel like group hug decks lend themselves to putting cards in that you wouldn't typically put in other decks. Like those mm-hmm. alternate win cons that just would make no sense in your other decks, I feel like can make sense in a group hug deck. Because like I said, you have to have ways to win and people understand that. So like if I'm throwing Approach of the Second Sun into every white deck I own, but like that doesn't make sense. But if mm-hmm. I'm putting it into, you know, a group hug deck or my Elminster deck, that's the entire purpose of the deck is to find that card and win with that card.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're not putting those win cons in every deck in that color. You know,
mm-hmm.
group hug makes more sense because it's like, okay, I'm expecting those alternate win cons. It can be kind of a feels bad if you're playing an alternate win con in a mm-hmm. deck where people aren't expecting that. And then all of a sudden you win and it's like, okay, where did that come from? I didn't know that was going to happen. You know, if I'm playing against a card draw deck in blue, I expect to see Triska Deckophile in there
uh-huh.
because it just makes sense.
It's like finding Felidar Sovereign in a mm-hmm. life gain deck.
Yep.
You're just expecting it. Or if they're playing mono white or white in any pairings, you're pretty sure there's going to be an Approach of the Second Sun in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I tell people in Elminster that is the point of the deck because otherwise when I combo off with it, people are like, okay, like I wasn't expecting that to happen. So, you know, when I start a game and I'm playing that deck, I say, okay, the whole point of this deck is to win with Approach of the Second Sun. I have ways to combo off so that I can get it off in the same turn. So that deck has a lot of extra turn spells.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you're scrying. So you are able to play that card and win with it in the same turn in that deck.
Yep. That's the importance of a good Rule Zero conversation is going back to our first episode or 0.5 episode.
Yeah.
That having that conversation beforehand, it shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah. So I feel like Rule Zero conversations are even more important in group hug mm-hmm. situations. And you think about that for like White Elephant gift exchanges too. Like you have mm-hmm. to have some rules to the gift exchange before you start.
Yeah.
Because if everyone is bringing practical gifts and you are the one person that brings a rubber chicken, whoever gets that is not going to be happy because
mm-hmm.
that wasn't part of the deal. So
or you show up and everyone brings alcohol and you're the one person who doesn't drink.
Yeah. So
and you just re-gift it to someone else, but you still feel awkward.
Yeah. I think especially if you're playing a group hug deck, that you need to be very open and honest in your Rule Zero conversation.
This takes me back to your Twitter post and reading through. And I think it was Beth, Queen of Cardboard, and a couple other people mentioned, you know, they might do something kind of silly, but in the bottom, they'd hide like a Starbucks gift card.
Right.
Because it or something that everyone would just appreciate or be able to get something out of.
Right.
And I think that's a good way to look at a group hug deck is there's something really outlandish, but then there's also something for everyone.
Yeah. That is very, very true.
So what I'm hearing is we have two different group hug decks to build. And we also have a 4-player traditional group hug pod to host.
Yes. Maybe we'll throw it in for a Flavor Masters episode.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
If y'all have no idea what Flavor Masters is, you're in for a treat. Because the first episode of that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So you're frozen, but you look happy. I'm going to take a picture so you can see how happy you look. There you go. There's your frozen face.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
Do you want to give a little taste of what Flavor Masters is?
If you've ever seen Iron Chef, think of that, except magic related. We have four Flavor Masters. I'm not going to say who they are yet.
Yet.
But
you may know who they are.
Yes. They are some great deck builders. Some great commander deck builders. Be ready, because it's going to be
a lot
good.
Of fun.
Yeah.
I think everyone will get a kick out of it.
Yes.
We do have some fun things, though, in store for the end of the year and for the year to come.
We do. We do. Make sure you tune in next week. We're going to have an end of the year special. The episode's going to be a little bit longer than we normally do, but we're going to go through our thoughts from the year. There's probably going to be some hot takes in there. Some
lukewarm ones.
There might be some lukewarm takes in there. You know, sometimes you just need room temperature. Mm-hmm. So
it's like when you get the hot chocolate and it's just a little too hot.
Yeah. There might be a couple of those. So there's going to be some interesting things next week. So make sure you tune in for that.
And act surprised.
Yeah, I've written out a whole thing and Matt doesn't know what it is. So it's going to be a surprise for Matt too.
Okay, I like surprises. Also, you're going to catch me off guard and I'm going to have to improv everything.
I am. And I like that. I like hearing these are going to be like the true thought, the first true thought that come to your mind when I talk about these things.
Okay, I am kind of excited about that. And it's better that I don't have moments to think it through. But our audience will figure out that 90% of what I say is pretty much scripted.
I mean,
that's why I need two monitors. I have like my cliff notes of hit these points and then like us, and then behind that is Scryfall in like 100 tabs, and then EDH rec in another 5, and then several Moxfield decks.
Yeah, I improv everything, so.
Wait, this works so well.
Yep. You get the first thing that comes out of my mouth.
And you get about the 5,000th out of my brain.
Yes.
But not next week.
Not next live. Week.
Thinking of group hug and getting something for free, what's a card that you would love to just flip into to have on the board? Not a win con.
Ooh, any card?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So many cards. I'm going to say this because I haven't been able to yet. Mm-hmm. And this is from my Ziatora deck, which is my brand new baby. We all know I love this deck. Mm-hmm. And this card was recently gifted to me.
Oh?
By my friend EK.
Oh, I saw these.
And it is
Matt, no.
Apex Devastator. I really want to play that Ziatora because it cascades 4 times and I just want to get some crazy shenanigans out on the board, and I haven't been able to do that yet. I haven't had the card even in my hand. Like, when I've played the deck, I haven't drawn it yet, and I just want to get that card on the board so bad.
It's funny that you talked about wanting to flip into shenanigans on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to take someone else's board and cause shenanigans.
Oh.
And I'd love to flip into either through group hug, or I'm thinking of my Nira deck because I haven't been able to pull it off in that yet, but Clone Legion.
Okay.
So 7/2 blue for a sorcery. For each creature target player controls, create a token that's a copy of that creature. So maybe not flip into a creature, but have an effect where I can at least flip into a card to cast a non-token and then create a lot of tokens.
Yeah. That's a good one. I feel like a lot of people, when they play against me, want a card that takes my stuff because I always give people really good stuff.
Well, this wouldn't take it. It'd just be copying. Copies. It'd be emulating.
Yeah.
It's the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah.
I love your board so much, I'm just going to make my own.
It would be really cool to play that when someone has a Terror of the Peaks on the board.
Oh, okay. Like this?
Yes. I'm manifesting the best game for you to play that. For it to come down on the board. Someone has a Terror of the Peaks and you copy their board.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Okay, I'm going to have to make that happen. Maybe I just make a group hug deck that has that I can give someone a Terror of the Peaks if they have a frightening board state already, and then I can copy.
There you go. There you go.
That way it stays within group hug. I'm not just copying it. I'm giving them something first to make it really frightening, and then I'm going to copy it.
Yeah.
I do need to figure out how to give
false
it haste, though. My coworkers like to remind me that hope is a four-letter word.
It is.
Yeah, but I like to use it in a good way. Stop swearing. I just said hope. You cannot talk like that around. Any final thoughts as we get closer to Christmas, the holiday season? Do you have a white elephant coming up in real life?
I do. I have a white elephant party for work. It's not until January, though, because of people's schedules. We had to wait and do it after everyone gets back. But I got a popcorn seasoning set. It comes with little bags of, what is the word I'm thinking of? Of not vintage.
Classic?
No.
Timeless?
No. Like,
I don't know how I feel about vintage popcorn.
No, it's not vintage. That's not the right word.
Slightly distressed?
No. Like, it's like unique vintage, like boutique, like
boutique is what I'd go for, or kitschy.
Yeah. So there's like different popcorns, and then there's like different seasonings that go with them, and they're all really punny. And then so that's my gift, because that was what fit in the amount limit that we had.
But that's a fun one.
It is. And everybody in our office really likes eating popcorn. The office smells like popcorn, like probably at least once every other week. So
as long as it doesn't smell like burned popcorn.
Sometimes it does. So
because that will carry.
Yeah. Yeah. So that felt
that's
like
a fun one.
A fun gift, you know, like it comes with and the cute little like popcorn bags that you can fill.
Oh, so, like the kind of like the classic movie,
yeah,
theater
the
style ones,
and
the carnival ones.
Yes.
Oh, nice. And if it's an office one and your office is pretty fond of popcorn, that can kind of come back to give back. So everyone will get to partake.
Yeah.
So we don't do a white elephant on our end, but I think I should start one up again. What I do, though, with a couple of my friends is there's this Icelandic holiday called Jólabókaflóð. Have you ever heard of that?
No, but I love the name of it.
So it's the Icelandic flood of books, I think is what it translates. It's like the flood of books, I think it translates to. But it's a tradition from Iceland, and none of the group are Icelandic. We just all love books. But you give a book to someone close to you on Christmas Eve, and then you stay up all night reading it.
Okay.
So we always like send each other like silly books or something good we read.
Yeah.
Or one serious book and then one kind of white elephant-ish.
Yeah.
One.
That's cool. I like that.
Start it up. Everyone out there, join in the fun. Send a book to a friend. Stay up all night reading it.
I heard of a couple people on Twitter say that they do white elephant deck exchanges where they build decks and it's like a white elephant gift exchange with magic decks.
Oh, that'd be kind of fun because we've both done the Secret Santa one.
Mm-hmm.
But a white elephant deck exchange could be a lot of fun if you have a local group to pull it off with.
Yeah.
Oh, that's next year. Next year I need to figure that out. What if we do a belated one in Chicago?
That could be interesting. Yeah.
More to come.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
Yes. Maybe we could do like Oathbreaker decks because they're smaller.
They're smaller. It's a little bit off season.
Yeah.
So it's kind of Oathbroken.
Yeah.
We're onto something.
Yes.
Let's make that happen.
We shall.
And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep cooking magic.